Here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Are you surprised Jonas drives as slow as he does?
No, Jonas is a 67-year-old inside of his body.
I respect
Noodles,
the law.
How do I drive, Noodles?
I think you drive aggressive, but you're lost. So that's my concern with you, is that you'll drive fast, but you don't know where the hell you're going. So that's so then you have to slow down, and then you'll change lanes and be like, oh, no, I got to turn left up here, so I'm just going to cut across three lanes. Like, to me, you drive
counterproductive in the
confused.
End.
That would be the word.
Yeah, okay, so this is how accurate that description is. I've been in Vancouver since 2002. I end up in parts of the city I've never been in. And I'm not trying to get there. And I'll just be like, damn, I'm in East Vancouver here. How did I miss this exit? I don't even know where I am. And yeah. You got the dashboard thing helping you out, but I still don't know where I am. But I do get there relatively quickly.
Just
nowhere.
Some people just have that in them. Like I don't know. How would you guys describe the way I drive?
You drive like a maniac.
No,
too.
I
yes,
don't.
Yes, you do. I've seen you passed me on the 401. I'm like, where the hell's this guy think he's going? The show. I know when the show starts.
Yeah.
It's not in 5 minutes because I'm on the road too.
No.
Where do you think you're going?
I'll tell you, this is what I know about Noodles. There is not a minute in the day not scheduled.
Yes.
So if he's got to be at Sports Center at 6:15.
Yeah.
He leaves at 6:14 so he can get there, walk in, set up, boom, finished. Because at 6:23, he's got to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you drive, too.
Efficiency. That's what I like to live by the word efficiency. So it drives me nuts when somebody is in front of me that is confused and is not knowing where they're going. Speed limit, I try and respect it as much. Like, I'm not a guy who's, like, weaving out. I don't like to be a dink on the road. Mm-hmm. I think we have to respect the vehicles big time. But why I get frustrated in, especially a city like Toronto, L.A., big cities, because there's so many people, it's, you just, there's no predictability whatsoever. Like, if somebody's driving, let's say, on the 401, you expect them to be going at least 100, maybe 105. And if they're going to go slower and want to be more cautious, move to the right.
Get the hell out of the way.
Do you get right on there?
No. But I will give a little toot, and I yell a lot of times in my car, let's go, or whatever. And
doesn't achieve anything.
I've been using the word, I don't like to swear a lot, but I use the word dipstick. Like, what is this dipstick doing?
Do you stare down after you pass?
No,
I try to move on.
I try to move on with life. But here,
well, you know though, that Jonas is driving 94 in the middle lane.
Yeah.
It's not true. I go about 118.
He's like a cork.
118 just like fine.
118 just so I don't get a ticket.
Okay, so let me pull my analogy.
Yeah, bring
into
us back
this.
To the analogy.
I'm
going to
bring it back
the Leafs
into
and the Cronwall
the
on
fighting
Matthews.
Scenario. People always ask me about fighting being a deterrent. I didn't see it that way. I mean, when Ray and I played, I think it was a different story. What I always thought about fighting or potential is, say you're driving down the highway and there's a cop at the side of the road. What is your natural instinct to do?
Slow down.
Just be a little bit more responsible. And I felt, now again, I may be dating myself. I felt like a lot of that dynamic potentially on the benches would allow guys to just think just a little bit differently. They may not act differently because there are guys who will always be agitators, there will be guys who will do that regardless, but to me it curbed a little bit of a thought process. That's the way I
especially
feel
especially with specific
fight.
Players, I think. You know, again, we mentioned if Cromwell hits Ennis, I don't care if Ty Domi in his prime is on the bench, he's probably like, nah, let it slide. But it's Matthews.
Right.
And that is different. Protecting him or trying to put him in a position to feel comfortable on the ice, I think matters. What do you make of this, Ray?
Well, I understand it, but so as we know that if you have a deterrent sitting on the bench, he's never on the ice with Matthews anyway.
Right.
And so by the time Matthews gets crashed into the boards, the next time he can do something about it is the next time the coach lets him out on the ice, because he's going to play just a few minutes anyway. We know the game has gone away from those players.
Right.
So there's less and less opportunity to have somebody like that. Now, you know, does that mean that you chase a player like, I don't know, Zach Kassian, or, you know, because Milan Lucic doesn't do it. He's not, you know, like, that's not the way he plays anymore. Who has who has guys that are real deterrents in their lineup? There's not many anymore.
I think teams have just team toughness. Like Vegas had that last year. You could see they had some guys who could handle themselves that were big and stronger.
There's one, right? There's Wilson.
Yeah, there's Washington. I call them functioning tough guys or guys who could play and play high in your lineup. But, you know, I'll give you an example, and this is actually in the new school of thought. I don't know if you guys saw the Edmonton-Calgary game. Was that 2 weekends ago?
Where
Nurse and Bennett.
Yeah. Nurse and Bennett, but Cassian went after Tkachuk. Tkachuk was stirring it up, and Cassian went after him and took a dumb penalty, and Tkachuk won that. He won, basically. He basically said, I'm going to get them off their game. I'm going to be chasing everyone around, go after McDavid after the whistle. Cassian didn't control himself, and he ended up taking a penalty. Calgary scored on the power play, and Calgary won the game. They didn't look back after that. What I would have done, and again, it's easier said than done from the hindsight, Cassian goes to Tkachuk. The next time you look at McDavid, I'm going to punch Goudreau in the face. And that may get them thinking differently, because I just point over to the bench and say, Goudreau, if McDavid gets touched, you're getting touched. And guaranteed
I agree 100%. It's the only way to put a lid on any of it. But in the Toronto lineup, who was even going to make that statement?
Nobody. But that's the way that they're constructed, and that's the way the game is played. We're talking about one scenario here. It's a bad scenario.
Because of the player it is, though.
Correct.
You can't lose sight of that.
Right.
It's Matthews. It's the superstar of superstars.
Right.
It's Austin Matthews, who everyone is holding their breath a bit when he's on the ice.
For sure.
And it wasn't a suspendable hit, but it was a greasy hit. He got penalized for it, and he deserved to. It was a boarding. And, you know, I'm not screaming for the old school. I don't need that.
Yeah.
But I can understand where Babcock is saying, you know, I think he handled it appropriately. He's being honest.
Yeah,
he's like, we just don't have them. But I could see him looking at that saying, I wouldn't mind some sort of a response. Because there's a difference between, and Ray, you tell me where you place value in this, if you place any at all. You know, I think we keep coming back to this goon that needs to be on the ice to go out there and punch people. No.
It's not there
anymore. But is there, you know, do you need more than just kind of a contrived scrum to, hey, we didn't like it, we're all going to pretend like we're pushing here, okay, moving on. Do you need more than that in the moment?
If he can play. Say he's on your fourth line. He's got to be able to do something other than run around the ice for 6 minutes. He's got to kill penalties for you. There's got to be a function, because it seems like coaches want to play their four lines more and more. And then you look at some teams where maybe you can afford to have a guy that's maybe a little closer to that line, because you play your star guy 23 and 24 minutes a night. I guess there's different ways to go about it. I think I would like a little size. When I look at the Leafs, I would say that's, and not because you could have asked me this yesterday morning, and I would have said the same thing. I'm a little concerned about whether they've got enough moxie in a playoff run. Not for now. They're better than everybody else. They beat everybody else. They score 4 goals a night. But that's the one thing, and I think it's a concern for Babcock too, is that I think he'd like to see a little more firmness sprinkled into their lineup. On every line, but it would be nice. But the guy's got to be able to play. If he can't keep up with the rest of the team, he's going to look like a bulldozer out there trying to keep up to a race car.
I agree, right? I don't disagree. And when you look at, let's just look at the company that the Leafs are in. Winnipeg, they've got team toughness, because Buff can move things around. Adam Lowry can move things around. Wheeler's not a fighter, but Wheeler has shown that he'll stand up for his teammates. And that team is large and can move. That's the one thing. Washington last year, they could move and they could be physical, but they were still highly skilled and they won the cup. So those are the teams that you're probably looking at.
Nashville
has Johansson. I know Austin Watson is farther down in your lineup, but he's still a guy who can give you a regular shift. I don't know if Kyle looks at this and says, Do we need something? Is it team toughness? But when you're looking at just overall snapshot of your team, then it's not constructed that way. It's fine. But in scenarios like this, or if you got to play seven games against the Winnipeg Jets, well, how are you going to hold up physically?
What about last year in the playoffs against Boston? Like, Boston's not huge, but like they have all these like plucky guys like that, and it exposed the Leafs a little bit last year.
It did. I mean, Ray, like, I wouldn't even.
Well, okay, so here's Noodles. You scanned over the Winnipeg. I'll give you a guy here. It's not going to fight too much or anything, but, and I don't think that's a necessity. But like Brandon Tanev and Andrew Kopp.
Yeah.
Like, they're physical and they can skate. And Tanev is a total pain in the ass, and he's a terrific penalty killer. And the only guy I can think of, tell me if I've fogged out here for a minute, is Hyman that would be at all in the same mix. And so maybe there's room for another forward to meld into their fourth line a little bit. If Tyler Ennis is going to play 7 minutes a night or 8 minutes a night and play on the fourth line, is that a spot that they could maybe look at a little bit differently?
But it's like, who is that guy, Ray?
Like league-wide, you're saying?
Yeah, like, do you just go out and say, we need a fourth liner who's a little bit feisty?
Could be a third liner, though,
good to be a third liner on this team.
That's what I'm saying. He's a third liner on somebody else's team, and he becomes a fourth liner on your team because of the depth of the organization. So you may be looking at...
But he's got to have a purpose, though.
Exactly.
Right? He can't just be there to be big. He's got to be able to play. He's got to be able to make a play. The Leafs are built in a... You know, in the way that we all see them, and it's you get the puck, you move it, you skate, you get to the next place, you make another play. Like, if it comes over to you and the play dies on your stick, Babcock's not going to play anyway.
No.
Well, they had that last year, and he stopped playing him.
Right, Matt Martin.
Yeah.
But that's not the player I think you're looking at now.
I would say, Jonas, that's not that maybe I'm not clear enough on that, but I would be more interested in a guy like Kopp or a guy like Tanev, since we're talking about the Jets. Somebody like, who actually had a really good start in Vancouver, is Antoine Roussel. Like, somebody like that, that you can, he can run around a little bit, he can give you some energy, he'll pop somebody in the nose if he has to, he'll kill penalties for you. Like, you've got to have a function. I'm not talking about the guy that, you know, used to stand out there and, you know, his shadow would cast over your end of the ice and everybody would go, holy crap, I hope he never gets on the ice. Like, those guys are...
It was last year, it was a guy like Polak. I mean, we're looking at the top, the front end. Maybe when you're adding defensemen at the deadline, like, right. I just got sent a note, which I would agree with. Maybe it's a guy like Petrovic, or Petrovic is his actual name, but it's Petrovic in Florida, who can play. He's gone up and down your lineup, but he also isn't shy to drop the gloves. So it's a guy who's maybe hardened but can still fit into your system in today's world, and the way Babs and Kyle wanted to build their team and advance the puck. Like, that's maybe a guy that you find at the deadline and don't pay a king's ransom for.
Yeah, and you know what I think is important to always point out? Like, we use this one saying that we all use. It's, well, this is the way the game's played, as if every team plays the exact same way.
Right.
And you can predict the way the other team's going to play. You can't. You don't know how the other team's going to play. You don't. It's a sport. It's unpredictable. All hell can break loose.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying you completely throw out your philosophy. That's not going to happen. Kyle Dubas is not going to build a team that way. He's not going to change the way he builds his team. But, you know, obviously you have to play. It's a requisite. You have to have some skill.
Brian,
you got to move the puck.
We're talking about Toronto only. What does Tampa do?
Well, Tampa's in a similar boat.
Like, to me, those two teams are built almost identically. Of course, the personnel is different and all that, but Tampa doesn't have... I mean, they got Cedric Paquette, but...
And they've been pretty good. Like,
Colburn.
I think we're overrating this. Is it possible we're overrating this?
Well, we're in the moment.
Like, we're talking about one guy. Like, so let's say they get one guy. Does that really change anything in like the scheme of things?
No.
Not necessarily. But
this is who they are. Like, and that's good. That's fine.
But I have heard the saying, and not just from Leaf players, but I've heard it throughout the league, that certain players make you feel a little bit taller, a little bit more confident. Like, Austin Matthews guaranteed makes his line mates feel more confident because, hey, I'm going to get the puck. Hey, I'm going to be able to make plays here. I think somebody who has a little bit of combat in them may also draw out some combat. Like Nazem Kadri, we're going to a scrum knowing that he has backup. Mm-hmm. Because that guy, he has jam. Regardless of what you think of Nazem or the way he plays, like he has jam. And
I guess this all becomes trying to build as perfect a team as you can. Right. And that's not really possible, right? Because it's never going to be a perfect team. And are you, you know, what do you think Ozhiganov's there for? Because he's big. I mean, that gives him a leg up on the other guys, on Rosen, for sure. He's there because they can use him in a, you know, in a size. It, you know, he can play against bigger people. He can kill penalties. But is he replaceable? Sure he is. But maybe it's not a, maybe it's not even going to come to that. Maybe nothing's going to happen. Guys are going to get hurt or not hurt because in most cases the response is too late. The guy's already, you know, guy's already banged up.
Right. Well, absolutely.
But I didn't care if my team was the toughest team. I did notice though when we weren't very tough that you kind of get pushed around a little bit. But that was a long time ago. It's not today's game.
Well, and that's a part of the evolution is the mentality of you know, the individual players, but also the team. I mean, I remember when I was younger, just playing junior, and you guys, I'm sure, had it. It was even more probably in your face, because you guys are older than I am, that, you know, you always stood up for your teammates, you always protected each other, and there was always a sense if someone took advantage of you on the ice, you could tell if your guys were there or if they weren't. And now it kind of feels like what the Leafs are saying is, we're not going to be there.
Right.
Like if someone gets you, sorry, you're on your own. We're going to try to score on the power play.
Right.
Which I'm not saying that's wrong necessarily, but it's very different. You know, well, this hockey culture and hockey mentality that keeps evolving. That there's no way a coach in 1985 would have said, "Boys, big power play here." It's not a chance.
It's a great point, Brian. Does that send a message through the league that like, "Hey, this is how we can get to the Leafs, is like start banging on
but
Austin."
But that stuff is all a show now anyway, where you run after the guy who makes the hit. Like, it's not.
And oh, no, no. I'm saying if I'm going to lean on the Leafs physically, I know I can get into their head. I mean, in a seven-game series, when I'll come back to Washington, you've got guys that are ultra-skilled like Oshie and Ovechkin. Throwing the body around and pushing them around in the corners and stuff like that, and not even
I got another one coming.
Throwing a guy like Orpik or anybody else.
Yeah, another hit coming up here, Ray, or what?
No, just telling the guy I'll be back. Yeah, I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay.
I thought I put it on hold. I said I'll be right back.
Yeah, so. Not on mute. Just on live radio in Toronto.
Wait, a mute malfunction.
A mute malfunction.
That could have been worse. Except I'm just setting up the Winnipeg hit too. So
yeah,
that's good.
Okay,
yeah,
well, so. I guess we'll let you go. Winnipeg. It's great catching up with you.
Hey, by the way, I would say that can only be blamed in one person. That would be me.
Yeah.
That's all good.
A mute malfunction. You're right, man. That could have been a career-altering mute malfunction, too.
Yeah, if you thought you pressed mute and said, would you shut the, you know, like yelling at somebody.
Come on with this Hayes loser. God, exactly. I hate this guy.
Would this McLennan stop talking?
I told my mom in Toronto, shut the
Well, say hi to our friends in Winnipeg. We're always big fans of their work, and we'll do it again Monday at 5.
I'll try and get the mute sorted out by then.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There he is. Bye. Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.